do you remember, I guess, the time in your life when you were given the opportunity or the liberty to think on your own? Do you remember the time that you were given license to come to your own conclusions, your own decisions? I think back to the time I graduated from high school. I suffered under the school system, under their rules and obligations, under their strict rules. And when I got out, I wanted to be thinking on my own. I thought I had the capacity, the capability, and so I came to the decision to grow a mustache. Because, you know what? You couldn't do that in school. No facial hair for the guys. Or for the girls, I guess. But I was going to grow a mustache. And I'm telling you, I looked really good with my mullet. I had my mullet with tight, kinky, curly hair, short on the front and on the sides, and long on the back, because you couldn't have long hair either. Especially if you were playing sports, you had to have that thing right up to the... Right? And so there I was with my mustache and my mullet, you know, business in front, party in the back, haircut, and I was something, wasn't I, hon? Yeah, I was. We tried to find some pictures, but we couldn't. I think I burned them all, actually. But you have that sense when you are freed, I guess, to think on your own, come to your own conclusions, that it's going to be the most exhilarating, I guess, releasing feeling and opportunity that you'll have, because you don't have to think like anybody else. You don't have to live under anybody else's rules. You're sort of out there on your own. And I think quickly what happens, at least it happens with me, is we come under a totally different kind of suffering, a totally different kind of restriction or, what do I want to say, bondage, when we start thinking of our own, because you know what the subject matter is? It's us, right? When you're free to do something, when you're free to think for yourself, when you're given the authority of, I guess, of your own life, the first place you go is what your heart desires. It's what's best for you. And I don't know if, I think we're going to wrestle with this until glory. I know I do. Give an opportunity for you to think. During your day, you have a margin, and you're able to think and process. 9 times out of 10, what is the subject matter? It's us. It's us. And I think God wants us to be thinking like Him. I think God wants to transform our thinking. I think 2 Corinthians talks about having every thought captive to Him. Romans, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The thinking process has got to come under the authority of Christ. And obviously, He thinks and He has the freedom to think and to develop conclusion and all those things that you know, He has given us license to. But what's on His mind and what's on His heart? It's us. You and I are on the heart and the mind of God. His eyes are always watching us. And He desires inner transformation. He wants not only to captivate our thoughts, He not only wants to share His heart with us, but He wants us to start living that way. He wants to consume us to the point where we think and act and respond like He does. others focused, not on ourselves. You cannot do that. I cannot do that. I'll tell you, once again, when I have margin to think and process, I think of myself. I think of myself. I think God wants to renew our minds, renew our thinking, in order that there will be a testimony of a group of people who think only of other people. This attitude that was in Christ should be in you and I, right? Where we consider other people's interests before our own. Christ did. He gave up every right as a son of God, became one of us, a servant, being made in our likeness, was obedient, even death on a cross. That not only will we have the freedom that he has given us to think, but we would not be in bondage to have to think of ourselves. Because true freedom is having our thoughts captivated by Christ and him living in us, causing us to be thinking and feeling his heart and his mind, which is for the lost, for others. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 1 and 2. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your sufferings as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you will be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants, instead of being tyrannized by what you want. Let that soak in for a minute. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your sufferings as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants, instead of being tyrannized by what you want. The mullet and the mustache was not the first and was not the last dumb decision or conclusion I came to in my life, nor will it be the last. I think we need to ask simple questions. So in our time of reflection, once again, we're going to have couples in the sanctuary to pray for you and also with you, if God so leads. And once we ask him what's on his heart and what's on his mind, it will direct us to others. And if God pricks your heart and he wants you to go pray with somebody, to go give someone a hug, to go minister to somebody, be obedient. A couple easy questions. God, what's on your mind and on your heart? God, what do you want? Let that be a question to allow God to speak to you what's on his heart and what's on his mind. Burned out on religion? Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This morning we are going to recognize the fact that Jesus has paved the way. He has gone to the extent to take on your grief, my grief, our sorrow, the punishment, those things that were supposed to be ours ultimately are laid upon him. And he's able then to walk alongside of us in our grief and our pain and our suffering. Those things that we will not be able to escape in this life as far as the circumstances are concerned. But in him we find rest. There's a peace that he comes to bring. A security, a surety, certainty. You will not find that anywhere else in this earth or anywhere else in your life. He's not come to change your circumstances. He's not come to change my circumstances. He's come to renew our life internally, to where even our circumstances sometimes become indifferent, especially in view of his tender mercies, of his generous grace, of his loving heart. Father, we are your kids. And you sent your son in order to die in our place, that we could be adopted as sons and daughters of the living God, with the same rights of a natural born son or daughter. We are co-heirs with your son Jesus. You have opened up the floodgates of heaven, and you pour out with generosity your love and your grace. Lord, you commanded us to take part in this symbolic meal in order that we would remember your death. But God, that we would know your life. We praise you. May we as your kids bless you.